we want to pray for Gypsy's young daughter, Ariel, who had a big seizure and had to go to the ER. Her meds are being adjusted. I think she's about 6 years old.
Mm.
So they're having to adjust her meds. But when she has a seizure, it's really exhausting for her whole body.
Yeah.
Melody asked for prayers for friends going through a rough patch.
Okay. And I want to have a prayer and praise report for my mom. She's 86 years old. She'll be 87 this October. And I saw her last Friday. I'm like, man, she just don't look like her normal self. And come to find out, Sunday morning early, 6 a.m., she texts me and says, I just am not feeling good, period. And that was all. End of the text. And I'm like, whoa, that's weird. And then my brother texted me an hour or so later. I'm taking mom to the ER. Something's not right with her. She's shaky. She's dizzy. She's very, very weak. So he took her. And that day, Sunday morning, they say she got a bad UTI, urinary tract infection. They gave her antibiotics, sent her home. 2 days later, yesterday, still not improved at all. So they went back. They dug a little deeper. It's only a test, after all. They dig a little deeper. Yes, she does have a bad UTI, but she's also very dehydrated. They ran some results on her. Her sodium levels are low. Need to drink Gatorade. You know, that can be very dangerous when your sodium levels get low or potassium low, either one. Mm-hmm. And then also she had some issues because she's dehydrated. She wasn't, you know, having everything processing properly. So, but they treated her. They gave her several IVs. Here's where my praise report is. I praise God that she has faith in Jesus in all that and that we have medical professionals that can help people. I praise God for that. I praise God for what they found out and that she's receiving some treatment, but here's what I really praise God for, that she's looking to Him, God, for her healing. And so I praise God for that. Also, I have a prayer request and a praise report on my daughter. My youngest daughter, Brooke, is going to be having a little one next week, by next Tuesday at the latest. We're waiting for him to turn. But her latest checkup, I just want to give God a praise report. His weight, I can't remember now. They said he's like 7 pounds, 2 ounces right now. And everything is looking so wonderful. You say, well, what's up with that? Well, not very long ago, those doctors were saying, and we didn't let anybody know this. She didn't really want to. But those doctors were saying, we've got problems. We've got issues. Way too much amniotic fluid. Too much fluid on his little head. This and that. Da, da, da. And they were really trying to prepare my daughter for the worst. And she just wouldn't receive it. So her checkup yesterday, your amniotic fluid levels are where they're supposed to be. Everything looks good. We just need baby to turn head down. And then if he doesn't, we're going to proceed because it's time for him to get out of the oven.
Yeah, pray for mama on that baby turning thing because yeah. I've been there with one of them.
Yeah.
It's and hard for him to.
Her first one turned and was just fine and perfectly, wonderfully healthy and all that, so we believe God will do it. After all, Ephesians 1:11 says what? We know in all things God's working in conformity to his plan and purpose. I almost quoted one of my favorites, Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God is good. So let's bring these things before the Lord this morning. Father, we come before you and we pray, Lord God, for this precious little girl, Ariel, Gypsy's daughter, Father. We know that you are her healer. And Father, I'm going to admit it, Father, we don't like it when things go wrong. And these things, they can certainly scare us, especially when they have to do with a child, Father God, or a baby. But Father, we refuse today. We refuse to give in to any form of fear or intimidation because we know with all of our heart that you are the God who works all things in conformity to your plan. And Father, you have wonderful plans for this precious little girl. We pray for these medical professionals as they're adjusting her medications, and we pray, Lord, for a healing in her body that she would never need them again. Father, we know that is your plan, and you are working toward that, Lord God. I pray you give us all patience as we go through these situations we're trusting you in. And I pray, Lord, that you'd work it out. Father, we pray for Melody's friend, Lord God, going through a rough patch. I pray that you'd give them that word in their heart, in their mind, that just brings them comfort and brings them peace. Father, even as you did for my daughter Brooke, Lord, I mentioned her situation. And, Lord, the day that she got the bad news about this little one, Lord God, about, I don't know, 2 months ago, Father, she just turned her ear toward you and heard you say to her, "Do you not trust me? Did I not knit you together in the womb of your mother?" And, Father, we have clung to that word. You who began a good work will bring it to completion. You knit us together in our mother's womb. And, Father, I know that that tells all of us that you planned us and you have plans for us and we have nothing to worry about. And, Father, concerning my own mom, I want to thank you, Lord God, that she received a diagnosis that gives her an idea of what's going on with her body. And, Father, we believe that you are her healer and her strength. And, Father, I continue to pray for my dear friend Joe and Neva, Lord God. And I know they've been in the trial of their lives over this last period of time. But, God, I just believe today that you are working in things in conformity to your will. And you are being glorified in the now and in the healing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
And
stay
amen.
Tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-343-8635. Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here in Elk City at the Promise Center.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. God has designed us to be unique. What we feel, how we see, and why we express is unequal. You have a reason why you are here. He wants to help you with that reason. You are a channel. What flows through that channel is how your world will experience the influence of you. So what goes through you is what feeds your world.
Drew's Plumbing, Heating and Cooling is located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all of your plumbing, heating and cooling needs, contact Drew's at 580-343-2525. They are a company.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Pastor Kenny Bailey would like to invite you to the Refuge Church. They're located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school is at 10, Sunday worship at 10:45, Sunday evening prayer is at 5, Sunday evening Wednesday Bible study at 7, Wednesday youth group at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy at 580-729-0956.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and...
Sorry, guys, we're not done yet. We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for this morning is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title is, This is Only a Test.
It's only a test. Had it been an actual emergency, you would have been raptured. Or I guess you would have been left behind. Mm. Oh, there's only 2 ways to be in there. Mm. You're either saved or lost.
Yeah.
You're either ready or not. Ready or not, Jesus said, here I come.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hide and seek. He knows right where you are. You can hide, but you need to seek.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Back to where we were, and if you weren't able to join us a while ago in the first half of this, you know, we're talking about how God allows things to happen in our lives, and it does test us. God is not ever trying to let you be tested so that you might fail the test and be destroyed. God allows us to be tested that our faith might be stretched, that we might grow, that things in our life that are hindering our trust in God might be exposed. Because too often, we are all too self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. We're too reliant on our own understanding. You know, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Well, what if you don't acknowledge him? Then he's not directing your path. Obviously, you are. And the Bible says this, a fool's folly ruins his own life, but his heart rages against the Lord. In other words, if I don't involve God in the process of my decision-making and the leading into my life, I'm probably going to do it myself, and then I'm going to make mistakes, and then I'm going to look at God and go, why did you do this? And God goes, I didn't have nothing to do with that. But I am working using that. I'm using that. You know, I mentioned earlier, and I don't want to be political about it, but I mentioned earlier a lot of people were very displeased with the 2020 election. I personally was one of them. I thought, man, this is not right. This is not right. And now I look at it, and pretty soon after that, you know, I'm going to the Lord going, this is not right. It's not right. And the Lord's kind of giving me back this, trust me. Don't you trust me? And now look, so look at all the things that have been exposed and have come to light that we would have probably never known about had everything gone just the way that most conservative Christians want them to go. So what I'm trying to say to you today is this. Are you facing a situation you don't want to face? Are you dealing with a disappointment that you know, I don't understand what God is doing. I don't understand. Where's God? I was praying about this, and it didn't go the way I wanted it to go. But here's the question. Is it going the way he wants it to go? So I don't know. That's exactly right. You don't know. I'm not called to, listen, I'm on the welcoming committee for the Messiah. I'm not on the planning committee. Mm. And I wish I was the one that came up with that, but I got that from someone else, but it's never left me. Man, that was anointed. Listen, we don't need to be telling God what to do. We don't need to be telling God what to do. We need to be going to God and let him tell us what to do. Amen. He's the shepherd. What are we? The sheep of his pasture. Now, in James chapter 1, we're talking about trials today, and we were looking in John. We're going to, I believe, go back to John quickly before we close here in a little bit. But in James, he says, consider it, James 1:2, consider pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many different kinds. That's what, if you're reading the King James Version, that's what diverse temptations is. I used to read that and go, diverse temptations? What in the world is that? That's partly why I don't preach out of the King James Bible. Because who in their right mind knows what a diverse temptation is without a dictionary? It's diverse is a word for diverse. And temptation, we can get that one. But count it all joy when you experience or encounter diverse temptation. Well, it's not even really temptation we're talking about here. It's trials. Now, temptation certainly is trials. Here's where it comes. Something comes into my life. It's bigger than me. I'm tempted to take matters in my own hands. I'm tempted to go to God and tell him what he needs to do. Be honest. Who are you to tell God what he needs to do? I said in my mirror. Who are you? Who you think you are? I mean, after all, why would you want a blind person to lead someone who can see everything? Because when you and I come up against these things, we're blind to the future. I cannot see the future. Looking into the future, I'm as blind as a bat. I'm way more blind than a bat. I cannot see the future. I don't know it. I don't know what's going to happen, but God does. So why would I be the one dictating to him how it needs to be dealt with? Why don't I let him call the shots and I follow him? Come on. Mm-hmm. It's only a test. And I love this. When Jesus asks a question and, you know, like Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know. I mean, you know. That's the best answer you could ever give God. You know. Mm-hmm. You know. And there you go. Let God be God. Romans says, let God be true and every man a liar. In other words, anyone who disagrees with what God says is lying, either to themselves or someone else. Mm-hmm. So consider it pure joy when you face these trials because you know, because. You can consider it joy when you know this, that the trying of your faith or the testing of your faith develops patience or perseverance or endurance. perseverance, patience must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. So here's the deal. If you're so impatient when you face trials that you'll, like, pray up a quick prayer and give God 5 minutes to answer, and if he don't, you take matters in your own hands, of course, obviously I'm exaggerating. Obviously I'm exaggerating. You would pray twice and give God 10 minutes. Hey, you got a pastor loves you. If your pastor does not provoke you, I don't know. I believe it's a pastor's job to provoke people, to provoke you to believe God, to provoke you to growth. Mm-hmm. So I'm saved. Good, grow now. You know, that's like saying I'm a plant. I'm planted. Good, grow. Because if you're not growing, you're dying. Mm-hmm. If you're not if you're not getting more mature, you're getting more immature. In the spirit. You don't just get somewhere and arrive. If you quit growing, you dead. So grow. Keep growing. Keep staying the word. Here's just one of the saddest things I've ever heard somebody say. I said, you need to read your Bible. He said, I've read it. You read it? Well, I read Where the Red Fern Grows when I was in high school. I never read it again. That's the way they treat their Bible. Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, you can ask them anything you want to ask them about the Bible. You say, you read the Bible? Yeah, I read it. I read the whole thing. Really? How long did it take you? They're like, it took me quite a while. I was like, a month. I'm like, what? Are you the fastest reader in the world? And then you ask them any question you want to ask them about the Bible, and they can't answer it. Right. And the real truth is they probably read a little bit of the Bible here and there, and then they didn't. And listen, the Bible, God did not, listen carefully, God did not give us his written word so that we could read the word and put it aside. He gave us his written word so that we could open the word every day and let it read us. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So, James, perseverance must finish its work. If it doesn't, you won't be made mature, you won't be made complete, and you will be lacking. There are a lot of people lacking in their trust of God simply because they're not letting perseverance have its work. Let patience work. Patience what? Persistence. Keep trusting God. Keep speaking God's word. Keep releasing the water of the word to wear away at the rock that is between you and where you need to be. Keep working it. If you need healing, you need to get yourself. I know people who faced situations and they literally went before the Lord and said, Lord, I need you to give me scriptures to speak. And they made a list of scriptures pertaining just to their specific desired thing. And they had 100 scriptures and would not start their day without first reading aloud those 100 scriptures, speaking them out of their mouth every day. Day after day after day after week after month after month after month after month. And I'm not even going to tell you what this woman was facing, but I'm telling you this. Her doctors didn't give her very much time to live. And most people that face what she faced, they go to here, there, and everywhere else getting every treatment they can get. And she went before the Lord to see if the Lord wanted her to have those treatments. She didn't refuse to take a treatment if that was God's will, but she went before the Lord. Lord, should I take this? Should I pursue this avenue for my healing that you've already paid for? And the Lord led her. No, you saturate yourself with the word. You speak it all day, every day. You keep people that are doubters and unbelievers away from your presence. Separate yourself unto me. And she got healed, and she was healed over 20 years ago. And she's walking in complete and total divine health now without receiving a single medical treatment. And her son is one of the largest pastors of one of the largest churches in Houston, Texas, or in America. And it happens to be in Houston, Texas. You want to know her name? Her name is Dodie Osteen. She's Joel Osteen's mother. That's your loss. That's your loss. You know, that's people like, that's like, if I say, you know, I support Donald Trump for president. They're like, I wouldn't support Donald Trump. Hey, I wouldn't vote him to be my pastor.
Right.
He's not running for pastor. No one's perfect.
Exactly.
No one's perfect.
Too busy pointing out everybody else's splinters.
Yeah, there are a lot of things I like to change about him. But I'm not called to change him. I'm called to change me. I'm not called to change you. I'm called to change me. Amen.
And if he is a baby Christian, I would hate to be in the position he's in.
Oh, yeah.
On the public stage for everybody to be picking him apart when I was a baby Christian.
I believe his faith in Jesus is genuine, and he truly does express that he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for sin. He celebrates that stuff. Is he rough? Is he crude? Is he unsanctified in the way he talks, in the way he comes across as being so arrogant? Yes, he is all that. He's not sanctified in that. But, you know, I don't know what it takes to walk in his shoes, but I know this. I'm not the judge of another man's servant.
Right.
So I just believe God that he can use that. Listen, if God can use wicked people in the Bible to bless his people, if you don't think Nebuchadnezzar was wicked, you don't know. If you don't think King Cyrus of Persia, that's Iran, modern-day Iran, that's the who financed the rebuilding of the temple and who brought the exiled Israelites back to Jerusalem. God used these leaders, world leaders, who didn't even know God to bless God's people. So, hey, let's get in agreement that God's will is going to be done. That's what need to be in agreement. God, your will is going to be done. No matter who sits in what office, Jesus is still sitting on the throne. Amen?
Amen.
He's on the mercy seat, so... We digressed. Let's undigress. Back to James. Perseverance needs to finish its work so that you can be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. In verse 5, here we go. Now buckle up. Here we go. If any of you lacks wisdom, that'd be us. That'd be all of us pretty much. Now remember, the context is you're facing trials, and you need to be considering those trials a joyous occasion to have your faith grow and expand and become more mature, more complete, and not lacking anything. That's the opportunity before you when you're facing something bigger than you. And so he says, hey, consider it a joy, because you know that the trying of your faith is going to build you up. And he goes, and then, if you need wisdom, that's the context. If you need wisdom, who don't? When you're facing trials, who don't need wisdom? Well, he knew we all do. So he said, here's what you do. If you're lacking in wisdom, in other words, I don't know what to do. They say I should do this. They say I should do that. I don't know what to do. Hey, that's where we're going to be. And God knew it. And he said, here's what you need to do. Ask for wisdom from God. And what does he promise? If any lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Here's what he says. Who gives generously without finding fault. That's what it means to upbraideth not. That means God doesn't chew you out for coming to him needing answers. He's not going to find fault with you while you come to him needing answers. He says, but this, it will be given. It will be given. Does the Bible, question friend, does the Bible say that if we need wisdom when we're facing trials, we can come to God and ask and he will give it to us? Yes, it does. But watch this qualifier. Verse 6. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. That's the first qualifier. Believe what? Believe that you're going to receive it. When you come to God asking for wisdom, you believe that you're going to receive wisdom. Mm-hmm. You don't come to God asking for wisdom and thinking, well, I don't hear me anyway. And he's going to point out the number one thing that keeps us, me and you, from receiving wisdom when we really need it. Are you ready? If anyone comes, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. He won't find fault. It'll be given. But when you ask, believe and don't doubt, because he that doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. In other words, you're here one minute and there another. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, I should. I think I'm going to do this. Oh, I don't know. Not yet. Man, that's just, you're not getting anywhere. How could you be patient? How can you be persistent if one minute you're over here and one minute you're over there? You can't. Mm-mm. And remember that perseverance is what brings the breakthrough. Consistency. So you and I need the word from God that tells us what direction we're going so we can lock in on that and just bulldoggedly stay on it and get in the word and get that word from God and then be releasing that word with our mouth and not speak opposite of it. So he says this, when he asks, don't believe and doubt, don't doubt. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea here and there. That man should not think that he will receive what? Anything. Now he opened it up. It's not just wisdom he's talking about. He said that man who's double-minded, who's here, there, and everywhere, He goes, that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Verse 8 says, why? Because he's double-minded and he's unstable in all that he does. So if I'm double-minded, the Bible says, I'm not going to receive anything from God. What does it mean to be double-minded, though? That's a good question, isn't it? How about this? If I come to you and I've already got my mind made up, how it needs to go, what's going to go, and then I come to you and say, what do I need to do? Now, he knows my mind. He knows every thought you have before you have it. Mm-hmm. He knows every word before your lips get it. The Bible says that. That's not my opinion. That's the truth. God's word. So if I've already kind of got my mind made up, and I come to God and I say, but, hey, God, I need to know what to do. What are you going to receive from God? According to this, nothing. You're not going to get nothing. You're not going to, well, I want God to correct me if I'm wrong. No, you don't go to God saying, correct me if I'm wrong. You go to God saying, what do you want to say? Not, hey, God, I want you to bless this plan. I heard about this, and this is the way I want to do it, and this is what we want to do, and so we're going to do it this way, and is that okay with you? I'd really like for you to bless it. You know what you're going to get back? Silence. Because the word says that when we come to God asking for wisdom, we need to believe and not doubt that he's going to give us the wisdom. We need to believe that he's good and not doubt that he's not. We need to trust God completely with our whole heart, come before him seeking wisdom, and expect to receive it. And here's the thing. If you're coming to God and you're like, well, I'm going to God and I'm going to pray about this, but if he says this, I can't do that. You're double-minded. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get anything from God. You have to come to God completely wide open, saying to God, I'm coming to you for answers, and it doesn't make me any difference what the answer is. I just want to hear from you. I want to know what you want me to do, and I surrender to you. And he knows. You can't just give him lip service. He knows your heart. So you got to get yourself in a place where you're fully surrendered to whatever he wants to do. I didn't say it was easy, but we can do it. And you say, well, I want to know what... I want to get through these trials. I want to walk into victory. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Now, thinking quickly as we close, this is only a test. What was it on Palm Sunday that provoked all those people to lay the branches down and sing Messiah's praise and all that, that it so provoked the religious leaders that that was the final straw for them? They're like, this guy, this rabbi, this teacher, he got to go. Because the people are going to want to anoint him as king, and then Rome's going to come and wipe us out. And so that was it. But what provoked the people to throw the palm branches down? We read about in John 12 that those who had been there when he raised Lazarus from the dead spread the word everywhere. So what was it that provoked this welcome Messiah parade we know as Palm Sunday? And the answer is, it was when Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from the dead right over there in Bethany, not 4 miles away, and the whole world heard about it. Before, when Jesus raised a little girl from the dead, her parents were in the room and three disciples, and what did Jesus say? He strictly warned them, do not speak of this until after I am raised from the dead. And they went, ew. I don't know what he meant by that, but I get it that he says don't mention it. But when he raised Lazarus, there was a whole crowd of people there. And his sister, Lazarus' sister, Lord, by now he stinks. Jesus' own friend Lazarus was sick, and they said, come and heal him. He stayed right where he was for 2 days. Why? Because God was conforming things to his purpose. That's why. And how? The Holy Spirit was telling Jesus, let's wait a couple days. That had to be torture for Jesus. Mm-hmm. He waited, and then when he knew ahead of time. He goes, Lazarus is asleep, but we're going to go wake him up. And the disciples were like, well, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. And Jesus goes, no, I'm not talking about that kind of sleep. He's dead. He is dead. And then he told them this, for your sake, I'm glad he was dead. He's dead. Let's go. And they're like, what? And that's where, they say, oh, you can't go back up there. Yes, you can. Yes, we will. And they went back over there. Came to the tomb, raised Lazarus from the dead. Go read it, John 11. Raised Lazarus from the dead. And when Lazarus was raised from the dead, the glory that Jesus got from that, from all the people around, and the glory that was from Lazarus' testimony, that is literally what provoked the Palm Sunday parade, as we know it, that the people of Jerusalem welcomed Jesus on that day. They welcomed him as the Messiah. Now, here's how people are. Several days after that, they're going, "Crucify! Crucify!" Yeah. But the fact remains that the reason they welcomed Jesus as Messiah is because his friend Lazarus died. That's a pretty big trial. Mm-hmm. But it was only a test because Jesus raised him. They had to go through that. You think the emotions Lazarus felt when he was laying on that bed, breathing and saying, "Where's my friend Jesus, the Messiah, the healer? I know he heals. I've seen him heal." Sisters, they knew he healed. "Where's Jesus? I don't know where Jesus is. We sent word. He hasn't come." Then Lazarus dies. Can you imagine the emotions his sisters went through? Yes. They're sitting there for 2 days waiting for Jesus to show up and heal their brother, and he don't come. And then their brother takes his last breath. And then 4 days or whatever, you know, it takes some time to travel from where Jesus was. He shows up, and they're like, "Well, he'd been in the tomb so long now. By now, he stinks. He's decomposing." Jesus is like, "Remove the stone." And then he speaks to Lazarus, and he comes out. See, the whole thing was all just part of God using that family, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, to experience a trial like nobody had experienced before, and so that Jesus could come and do what he needed to do, working all things in conformity to the will of the Father, to provoke the people to lay the palms down and welcome Jesus as Messiah. So I'm going to close with this question. What is God doing in our lives that we don't understand, that we don't like, that is actually for our good and the good of a lot of people around us? Will we let go and let God be God, or will we try to tell God how to do things? That is the question. And I say that we ought to, and I'm preaching to myself too, we ought to let go and let God come before him and say, as Jesus said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and mean it. Seek God for answers that he wants to give, not just the answers that I want to hear. Amen? So, Father, we ask you to help us today. We come before you, Father, and we know, Lord Jesus, that there are far too many times that we're acting as the advisor when we need to be those who are being advised. We try to tell you what to do, Lord. Please, I pray, forgive us, and I pray, Lord, that you give us humble hearts, open ears and open minds to receive what you want us to have. And, Lord, confirm in our hearts always that you're working for our good, that you're working in all things to conform it to your will. We have nothing to fear, nothing to dread when we put our trust in you. So we ask your grace in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. That was a good word. I never put those two together. I didn't realize that the miracle of Lazarus was connected. That's interesting to know. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come join us.
It's always my pleasure.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Tina Dobbs, and Pastor Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.